Good to be back out with you in God's house tonight. I want to ask you again, as I started out this morning, are you glad that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? I believe that you should be. I believe without a doubt that you should be. You should be thankful that you are that way. Amen? Because God has made us that way. We're still over in Psalms, 139th chapter. I'm going to begin with the 7th verse tonight. I already did the first 6 verses. We covered them this morning. I'm going to talk about an omnipresent God tonight. What I want to talk a little bit about as we go into this. But before I pray, I want to tell you a little story. There was an atheist who had a young son. And this atheist was getting worried because this young son was getting interested in Christianity. And so what he had done, his young son had friends at school that were Christians. And they were talking to him about, you know what, about Jesus and about going to church. And this boy had never been to church in his life. He's like about 7, 8 years old in that neighborhood there. But he got kind of interested in it. And his dad wanted to make a plaque to put on the wall. It said God is nowhere. And that's what it said. God is nowhere. And that's what the sign said, because you know how his philosophy was. He didn't want his son to get persuaded in any way. But anyway, his young friends kept talking to him, and they got him persuaded to go to church, this young boy. And it's, for whatever reason, his parents let him go. Well, whenever he got there and he come back home, and his dad had hung that plaque up while he was going, and whenever he got there, he said, Dad, that's just exactly what the Sunday school teacher said. He said, oh, it is? He said, yeah. He says, God is now here. It amazes me, no matter how we try, what we try to do, God is always present, is he not? You know, that young boy, he's reading 4 words out of where there was only 3. But praise God, God can do that, can he not? He can do that. God is now here, folks. I want you to understand that this evening, as I preach that to you tonight, God is here with us. He is here in the presence of us at this church tonight. He is here. He is in the midst of us. You know, and I praise God for that. And you know what? No matter what we think, no matter what we say, He is with us no matter where we go. Let us pray, then we'll read the Scripture, please. Father, as we come, Lord, this evening, I want to thank You for the opportunity I had to stand behind the sacred desk again this evening, Lord. You have been so good to us, Lord, and You've blessed us so richly. And Father, I pray, Lord, this evening that, Lord, the Word would go out just exactly the way that You'd have it to. And Lord, I just praise You. And give You the thanks for it all, Lord. Now, Father, be with the hearts here tonight. Open them up. Help them to be receptive, Lord. And Father, we'll give You the praise and the glory for it all. And amen. And amen. Psalms 139, beginning with the 7th verse. Whether shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whether shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance has not hid from Thee. When I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, in all Thy books all my members were written, which as continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Just let that soak in for a little bit, folks. Yet when there was none of them. Praise God to see. What a great truth. What a great truth we have right here. You know what? He is here at church with you tonight. Like I said, I want you to know, whenever you go out these doors to get in your vehicles and go down the road, God is with you. Whenever you go home and get into your bed tonight, God is with you. When you get up in the morning and you get up out of there, and I hope you're saying your prayers before you go to bed. I hope you say your prayers before you go out. I hope you read your word. But I'm telling you, God is with you when you get up in the morning. There's no doubt in my mind, He is with us every step of the way. Man, can we even comprehend that kind of truth? Can we not? He is with us. Whether you go to school, whether you go to work, whether you go shopping, whatever you may do, God is there with you. Do we understand that? It's called the doctrine of God's Omnipresence is what it's called. There's a doctrine, and I believe in that doctrine. It's something that, you know why? I believe that He is with us all the time. I believe that God is present everywhere in our lives, no matter where we go, what we do, He is there. Verse 7 starts with a statement of God's presence. It says, listen to what it says. Let's read it over here. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? I don't know why anyone would want to run from God, knowing full well that He is with us all the time. But there are examples of it in the Bible where people run from God. We know that. We look at Adam and Eve. You go back to Genesis in 3:8. Whenever God came to talk to them in the cool of the evening, what were they doing? They were trying to hide from God. What kind of foolishness was that? And folks, if you don't think that people try to do that today, they do it in so many different ways and so many different avenues, but they try to run from God. What kind of foolishness? We cannot run from an all-knowing God. We cannot do it. A God that is everywhere. There's just no way. They really thought they could hide themselves. Wasn't that foolishness? Wasn't that just foolishness? That's what they thought. Sin can do that to you and I. Do you know that? Sin can make us want to hide ourselves from God. You don't think so? Just think about the people you've known down through the years that were faithful in church, that went to church, and then somewhere along the line, something may have happened, but they've gone away from church. Now they don't even want to talk to people about church. They want to hide. They want to get away. They don't want to listen to you about church. Just think about it. Sin will make that do that to us. Sin, you know what? It wants us to escape God's presence. A holy God strikes fear in the hearts of those who are sinners because they do not want to stand in the presence of a holy God with sin in their lives. We cannot do that. That's why there's fear struck in their heart. That's why they don't want to be around God or be around God's people or His church. That's why we're typical. We sin and we try to run from Him. You know that? We do that. How tragic is that thought? Because listen to me. Whenever we sin, what's the thing we need to do? We need to run to Him. We need to go to God. We need to go to His presence. Whenever we do something in our lives, I can tell you this. If something goes wrong in my life, the first thing I want to do is get on my knees and run to God and ask Him, say, God, I need Your forgiveness. I don't want to run from Him. I don't want to get away from Him. You know how tragic a thought is that when people want to run from God? How tragic is that? You know, you can see in God alone, in God alone can we find relief. Amen? That's where we can find a relief from the sins that's in our life, in God alone. There's no way that you can come to me and find relief for your sins by just coming and talking to Dave Long or talking to anybody else in this church. I tell you what, whenever I got saved, I want you to know, people would talk to me before. I had aunts and uncles who'd come and talk to me and told me I needed to be in church. I'd say, yeah, right. Going down the road, I don't even want to talk to you. And then that was my attitude. I may not have said it to him, but that was my attitude. But I want to tell you something. The moment that God got a hold of Dave Long's life, the Spirit started convicting me, I couldn't get to an altar fast enough. I couldn't get to where I wanted to. I got on my knees outside the church and I got saved and praised God. It was the greatest thing that I ever done. There's nothing that's ever been that can even compare to it. I didn't run. Look at what Jonah did. Jonah tried to run and hide also. How foolish was that? You know, he got on that boat thing and went the opposite direction of where God told him to go. And they said he went to Tarshish, which I believe is modern day Spain. And just to think that God is not in Spain, just like He is in the United States today, the God that we serve, He's all over this world. And Jonah tried to run and hide from Him. And you know what? There's people who try to run like that today. They try to get away from Him. They try to do all manner of things. But you know what? What a ridiculous notion. Just to think that God is not here, but He's over here, but He's not there. Praise God. I'll tell you what, I'm glad He's everywhere. Are you not? When we are called to do something difficult, when we go to some place, when God asks us to do something that's unfamiliar to us, and God, He's wanting us to do His bidding, and we turn our back and say, God, you know what? Let somebody else do it. We're just as bad as Jonah running from Him. Amen? That's what we're doing. Maybe putting it off or just go the opposite direction. Maybe we do that. We can soon find out God's there also. Amen? We can do that. I'll tell you, God called me, I'll just tell you this. God called me to preach quite a few years ago. And I started preaching, and I had a couple of different churches. But you know what I did? I got to the point where I thought, you know what? I didn't want to do this, and I run from God. You can ask Debbie. I give a church up in Parkville. I just give it up. You know what? Because God had, I got put on something. I used the different excuses. And I went back to 14th Avenue, and I sat there, and I would preach once in a while, and God kept convicting me and convicting me. And you know what? Whenever you people give me the opportunity to come and preach, I want you to know something. God had convicted me so much. I didn't just walk. I run. I knew what was coming. I knew what He wanted me to do. And I want you to understand this evening. You cannot run from an all-present God. Just try it and see how far you get. He is there. He was in my bedroom. He was at work. He was everywhere I'd go. I'd try to go and try to get my mind off of what He really wanted me to do. And God was there. And He convicted me, and He convicted me. I want you to know something. He never brought up on me, and I'm glad He didn't. I'm glad. Maybe putting it off, you know, but it didn't do it. God can soon find you. We cannot hide from Him. We cannot. Believe me, I tried it. David in verse 7 was not trying to get away from God. He wasn't trying to do that. He was just stating the obvious. He knew that there was no way he could ever get away from Him. He knew it. He knew it was impossible to escape God's presence. David knew God was present everywhere at the same time. Do you believe that this evening? When he's over at Bev's house, he's at my house. You know that? When he's at Jamie's, he's at Inez's, he's at everybody else's that's in this church tonight, and the sound of my voice, he's at your house the same time he's at mine. Amen? That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. Praise the Lord. The prophet Jeremiah tells us the same thing in Jeremiah 23 through 24. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in the secret place so that I cannot see Him? Declares the Lord, do I not feel heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I want you to know something. That is the truth of the matter. That's where the rubber meets the road right there. God fills this whole earth. He shows us that He's everywhere in it. You cannot escape God. You cannot do that. God is fully present. He's fully everywhere. Amen. That's what He is. David, after making a statement about God's presence, he goes on to say this. He tells us specifics. He tells us that God's in the highest and the lowest. He tells us that He's at the fastest, and He's at the farthest and the fastest place. We could go. He's at the lightest and He's at the darkest. That tells us where God is at, where His presence is at. There's no way. The highest and the lowest. Let's look at 139:8. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. David is telling us God is with us no matter the extreme. He's telling us, no matter how high you can look. I want you to understand this. If you could fly to Mars, God's there. You know that? If you land on the moon, God's there. If you go to the center of the earth, God is there. He's everywhere. You know, praise God. If you fly anywhere and go anywhere, God is there. I thought that is truly amazing. Hey, David didn't have no degree in aerodynamics and stuff like that, but David knew. David knew where God was going to be. You know what? They said it was hell, but I believe it goes even much deeper. I believe it's the center of the earth where he was talking about. So at the highest and lowest ebbs of your life, no matter how low or how high you are in your life, whatever happens, God is there. Amen? He is there. He is present. This talks about the vertical. Whenever he's talking to the highest, now he's going to talk about the horizontal. And if you look at verse 9 and 10, as fast as the morning daylight spreads from the east to the west, God is there. Listen to me what he's saying here. He's talking about, in that first part of that, whenever the sun comes up in the morning, and those first rays of light shine out across the land. Do you know what the speed of light is? It's 189,000 miles per second. Is what it is. 189 miles an hour per second. David's saying in his own little way, and like I'm telling you, he did not know anything about what I'm talking about here today. He's saying as fast as the light goes across this world, that's where God's presence is. That's how God, you cannot outrun Him. You can't get away from Him. That's what He's trying to say. And I thought, man, that's amazing. That's amazing for anyone to know that. He's telling us that man, as fast as the speed of light is, God's presence is there. If you could go the speed of light, God would be there with you. Amen? He would be there. He, even looking on the vastness of the sea, David didn't know how vast the sea was back in that day. He didn't know how wide the oceans were. But he's saying, no matter how far that sea went, God's there. Amen? He's there in our lives. And I want to tell you something today. No matter where you go in this life, and I know some have drifted and some have did different things. No matter where you go, God is still there with you. Amen? He's still there. He's still present. David had no way of knowing that, but he knew this. God was there. That's all he needed to know. That's all he had. David also knew that God was holding him in his care and in his hands. 139:10. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Listen to me. David knew that God's presence would hold him up no matter what was going on. You know what the right hand represented back then? It represented strength. He was telling them that the strength of God's hand was there, and his presence was there with me constantly. His presence was with David constantly. Do you not believe that with our lives tonight? I believe God's presence is with us. His hands is upon us. If we are His, and we are one of His presence is with us. He wants to lift us up and hold us up. Praise God. God is within us, holding, protecting, watching over us, no matter where we go. God is there in the light and in the dark. I like what it says right there, because you know why? You know, it goes on. Some people think that God can't see them in the dark. You know that? They think that, you know, whenever they go out and do this stuff in the dark that God can't see. Oh, they have no idea about the God we serve, do they? They have no idea about the God we serve, especially trying to hide from God. Those that try to hide from Him. You know, Christ told us men love darkness rather than what? Rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Right? That's why somehow they think God does not see what they do in the dark. Friends, God can see in the dark just as well as He can see in the light. Darkness is as light to Him as light is. Amen? That's what it is. John tells us God is light and in Him is no darkness. When God comes on the scene, I want you to know something. Darkness has to go. Darkness leaves. We're going to have candlelight service here in a couple weeks. And we turn out the lights in here. We all have a candle. But if you turn out every candle and you just light one light, that one little light from the candle can illuminate this place. And brothers and sisters, God's light is so much better than that. It is so much better. When God is present, their light is guaranteed. Amen? It is guaranteed. His presence guarantees that there's going to be light around us, light in our lives. There's so many of us scared of so many different things. Many times we're paralyzed by fear. But I want you to know something. Whatever fears are affecting you, just remember this. God is present with you tonight, wherever you may go. Those fears have no control, no bounds over you if we let God have that. Our God, at His word, there's nothing to fear. Our God is with us. Psalms 132:12. Darkness is light. Or a life to God. It doesn't make any difference. He's there for us. No matter what you're going through, God is there. No matter the denseness of the darkness, I want you to know something. God is there. And I believe you me. I know there's been people in here that have been through a lot in their lives. It looks like that they're at their darkest hour, right? It's looked like at times in your life you've been at your darkest hour. But guess what? God was present, was He not? God was present. It's no problem for God. You know, I've used this illustration, I think, here before, but the American Indians, they had a tradition back whenever they had their young men became like 13 years of age to prove that they were men. What they would do with them, they would take them out into the middle of the darkest, deepest forest that they could find. And they would have to spend the night out there by themselves at that night to prove that they were men, to go from boyhood to manhood is what they did. This is at 13 years of age. So what they did, they would take them out there, and when they would leave them, well, when the first dawn of light would come, these 13-year-old boys would spend out there all night long. They thought that they were there by themselves, but lo and behold, when they looked out, their dad was standing in a path not too far away with a bow. He had been there watching over him all the night. Do you not understand? That's how God does with His children. Amen? That's what He does. Praise God. You know what? When we think that we're by ourselves and we're at our lowest ebb in life and darkness has overtaken us, I want you to know God is standing just like that Indian was, standing right there watching over us. Watching over us, letting us know, hey, I'm here. I'm here. And finally, whenever the dawn breaks and we can truly see again, and we start, praise God, He's there. We know He's been there. And I thank God for that. I thank Him for that all the time in my life. Another story I heard about one time too, and this is something that a Christian man and his wife, and they had a beautiful 3-year-old daughter. Well, anyway, their life was going great, and everything was going good in their lives. But anyway, the wife got killed in a car accident, and it was just left him and the 3-year-old daughter together. At the day of the funeral, whenever the funeral was over with, they were home at night, and the lights went completely out in the house, completely dark. Something, a breaker or something went wrong. And he's talking to his little 3, he's putting her in bed, and he's trying to talk to her as the lights went out, and he said, "Listen, honey, I said, I got to run down to the basement. Can you lay here, right here, real still? And I'll go down, I'll do that." And she started crying. She said she didn't want to do that, which, you know, you can understand. So as they start down the steps, he's holding her. And as they start to go down into the basement, And she's getting scarier and scarier. She tells her dad, she said, "Daddy," she said, "you know, I'm scared to death." But she said, "you know, it's all right because you're here." And this man started crying because he missed his wife so bad. And he understood then God was there even in his darkest moment. And he said he just started crying. He said the tears just started rolling down his face because God had showed him, "you know what, I'm here for you. I'm here. I know you're at your lowest depth. I know you're at your darkest hour, but I am here." And praise God, he's that way for all of us. Says, I don't know how dark it is in your life tonight. I have no idea what's going on in your life. I don't know how dark the clouds are that are hovering around you. Everyone in here has had issues and problems in their lives. I don't need you to raise your hand to tell me that. I know. I can just feel it. But do you know something? Listen to me. God is right there no matter how dark it is in your life. But what I want you to know is God is there. That's the most important thing. God is there. And I praise God for that. Verses 13, 14, and 15. "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." You know what? You all heard the story of the potter and the clay. And I'm reminded of this. You know that potter can take that piece of clay and he could put it on that wheel and he could try to make the same pot time after time. Even if he did try it, every one of them would never be the same, right? There's always something different about every one of them. Folks, there's something different. But I could go in here tonight and I could point my finger at every one of you and tell you there's something marvelous and wonderful about each one of you. I mean, just in my own human eyes, I could say, what do you think God sees about every one of you? What do you think God looks at each one of you and looks upon you? God has made you wonderfully. He's made you fearful. He has made you. And praise God, we should be willing to say, "God, thank you. Thank you for taking me and making me what I am today." In Hebrew, whatever he says in the inmost being, he's talking. You know what it meant back then? It meant the kidneys. That's what he was talking. Because they thought that all the feelings and everything generated from the kidney. But what he's talking about is the innermost parts of us. That's what he's saying. He said, that whenever he says that, it's from the innermost parts. Listen to me. "Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me. I will praise thee because of that." Listen, folks. We're not a biological accident. I want you to know that. We're not a product of some impersonal force. We're not that. We're known of God. Amen. We're not creatures of mere chance, no matter what they try to teach us. We're not that. We're not creatures that just happen to appear out of some slime somewhere. We're not that. We are not creatures that somehow evolved from some little tadpole somewhere. I want you to know this. I believe tonight God created us, every one of us. He knew you when you was in your mother's womb. Do you believe that this evening? I believe he knew you. I believe he knew me. And praise God for that. Praise the Lord for that. God has made us personally and individually. He's made every one of you special. Whenever we learn that aspect, we can grow as Christians. When we learn to accept what we are, and God has created us just exactly the way we are. Whether or not we think our ears are too big, or our mouths are too wide, or our teeth not clean, I don't know. Not anything. God created us for a reason and for a purpose. And I want you to know something this evening. No matter our lot in life, God has given us the purpose and the being of saying, "God, I have created you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made." Amen? No matter the situation in your life. Amen. I'll tell you what, God has done that for me and you. Amen. You know what? David was so overwhelmed with the thought. He was so overwhelmed with knowing that God was omnipresent and omnipotent to him. He was so overwhelmed with that thought. That's why he broke out whenever he said in 14, and like a song of praise when he said, I will praise thee for I am that way. I will praise you, God, for you are always with me, and you know every aspect of me. Fearfully made. It doesn't mean that there's anything to be afraid of. The idea is behind the word is that we are unique and distinct. That's what fearfully means. You are unique and distinct. Praise God. You're just like a snowflake. There's never one of them the same. Amen? You're not. And I thank God for that. And we should be thankful. That's just why we are like we are. We're wonderfully made. It's the marvels of the human body. I printed this off. I wanted to read this to you about the Bible. It's found in a book, If I Were an Atheist. Now listen to this, and this is part of it. Think of the human body composed of more than 100 trillion cells. Now think of that. Just think about that. Think of the skin. Where water penetrates the skin outwardly, it cannot penetrate inwardly. Aren't you glad? Because when you took a shower, you just drowned. You'd explode. Right? That's how it would be. Think of the bones. They're capable of carrying a load 30 times than a brick will support. Think of that. Now just put that into perspective. Think of the liver. It breaks down the blood cells into bile and neutralizes poisonous substances. Think of the blood. 10 to 12 pints of the substance distributes oxygen and carries away waste from tissue and organs. It regulates the body temperature. Think of the heart. Weighing less than a pound, on the average, it pumps 100,000 times every day. Think of that. 100,000 times every day your heart pumps. Circulation, 2,000 gallons through 60,000 miles of arteries, capillaries, and veins. Just let that sink in for a little bit. And people think we just happened. They think we just happened. Listen to this. Well, and only a fraction of the wonder. Our brain, or another thing to consider, it has 10 billion nerve cells to record what we see and hear and feel. Can you imagine 10 billion nerve cells, folks? The brain capacity surpasses any man-made computer. Any man-made computer. Then consider the chromosomes. Did you know that a single microscopic human chromosome contains 20 billion bits of information? 20 billion. You want to put that in perspective? Take it and do it like this. Take 4,500 page books. Listen to me. And put them on just a little thing like that. That's what we consist of. That's what we consist of. Then we think that God, this just happened. No way. No way. The God that we serve has fearfully and wonderfully made us. How about your breathing? You know, you breathe in and out, you don't even think about it, right? You breathe in and out, you know what? Wherever you breathe, wherever you're sleeping, you breathe, and because, you know what? God has made us to where we do that. He made us where we do that. Praise God. I am thankful that He has done that. He has done that. Praise the Lord this evening. Now listen to me. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I want you to understand that beyond a shadow of a doubt. If you don't get nothing else out of the sermon tonight, God loves you. He loves you for who you are. People in this world, they constantly stand up and they say, I want to be loved for who I am. You know what? There's somebody that does. That's the God we serve. He loves you for who you are. Not for what? Your potential, not for anything that, not for your looks, not for anything. He loves you just for the way that you are. Amen. Amen. Belinda, let's get a song.